This is the Cube Show on Demand. Listen live weekdays 6 to 10. Get loud.
I really don't understand your question. I don't know if I can't hear or you guys can't talk in the mic or whatever.
Get crazy.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Get nuts.
Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah, it's gone.
It's the Cube Show.
It's that all-born radio.
I'm a good person.
Man, y'all take it easy down there on the off, baby.
God want us to win the world championship.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing the wrong things.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Hey, legitimate question, though.
Okay.
I'm drunk right now.
Wow.
Another one!
I!
And now, Cole Kublick.
He is bad Auburn man.
Right here on the Cube Show, actually 7:01 and 15 seconds. Gonna have a good time today because it's Solar Eclipse 17, Cole. Or 2017. Or whatever. Can't wait, though. Can't wait to have the sun blocked out for an extended period of time. The height of it around here, if you're not going up to Nashville. Do you think people are even listening today? I think Huntsville, Decatur, Marshall County. I think it's going to be a ghost town. I think everyone's traveling up to Tennessee to see it.
Yeah, hopefully you're tuned in and listening right now.
Yeah, maybe on your way up there, you're listening to us, and we appreciate that because we got all your solar eclipse talk happening right here today, and that's why we're now at our Phone Restore call of the day, brought to you by good friends at Phone Restore. If you got that cracked screen, which looks like a spider web and just ruins your viewing experience on your phone or iPad or tablet, or computer, and if that computer thing's not working right either, you can give our guys at Phone Restore a chance to fix it. Most repairs are done in less than an hour. You will be glad you did. They're located at 900 Bob Wallace Avenue. You can start checking them out at phonerestore.com. Everybody has an opinion on the eclipse. Well, maybe not everybody.
Coach, just a little off the subject, but on Monday we've got the solar eclipse. Are there any special precautions you have to take with the team considering the eye damage possibilities or that you have thought about?
You know, we'll set it up so if the players want to go out there and get some sunglasses and look at it, I guess they can. That's not something that I'm really that focused on right now. You know, I watch the Weather Channel every day. They're already saying what it's going to look like in every city in America. So what's going to be significant? Just watch the Weather Channel. You see what it's going to be like in Portland, Oregon. You know, it's Clayton, Georgia is the number one place in the country to have 100%. You know, there are all kind of people there. My house will probably be the only empty house on the whole lake. So I'm going to watch it on TV. Maybe we should have a team meeting about how we're going to do this. I haven't thought of that yet.
Oh, you should think about that, Coach. Have a team meeting about it. Nick Saban not really impressed with the solar eclipse. But then again, it's not his football team. So why would he be impressed with the solar eclipse? That is your Phone Restore call today. Brought to you by our good friends at PhoneRestore.com. He is not the only SEC coach to have ever been asked about the eclipse. You guys may remember back in July, just a few weeks ago, Will Muschamp was asked about it. We played it on the show, but here he is again.
When you sat down to plan out the preseason schedule, how much, if at all, did the eclipse factor into to that week?
First of all, it's 80% of what we did.
we're practicing. You, I mean,
hold on. They were laughing for me.
To that week.
We're practicing. I mean, are you kidding?
We practiced at night. I didn't know if it was on purpose.
No. What day is the eclipse going to happen? Okay. Do we ought to shut our eyes when it happens or something? I have no idea. I'm not very good with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't think Will Muschamp understands how eclipses work.
I saw John Harbaugh kind of, he got a little upset about it too over the weekend.
Oh, God. What? I love this.
Why are the Titans making special circumstances for it, but all these other coaches are mad about it?
Well, the Titans, Titans are in the path of totality.
I love that Saban tried to talk about it, and he's like, my leg count is right in the middle of the it there.
It's going to be the only empty place in the lake house. So let me take you now.
By the way, party at Saban's lake house.
Party. Let's take you to Chris Matuszczyk.
Sorry.
Who is the president of Howard Raucus LLC and creator of CNET's Technically Incorrect column. He's a wine ambassador well at the Honig Winery. Now, you may wonder, why am I bringing up a guy who writes for CNET? Because he has an opinion, not on the eclipse.
Wait, that's the company that made the Terminators, right?
CNET, Skynet.
Oh, excuse me.
Skynet.
Really
CNET, if you don't know, CNET is a website that offers a lot of computer stuff. Not like to buy, but advice on computer things
okay. And
things like that. It's a very technical website as far as technology is concerned. I think I used the rude word. Anyway, we're bringing up Chris Matuszczyk because he has an opinion not on the eclipse, but on Nick Saban's opinion on the eclipse. His column is titled, "Nick Saban is the reason you should watch the solar eclipse."
Okay.
That's right. Nick Saban is the reason you should watch the solar eclipse. And I'll skip to the part where it's the best quote you could possibly give, to where he says, "If you were even doubting for a moment whether it's worth watching the eclipse, this Sabanic moment should persuade you to get out there and see it for yourself. Safely, of course. Too many these days think that watching something on TV is somehow enough of a real thing, or even as real as the real thing. Too many technologies encourage us to live within them rather than explore what some might call real life. So even if you have an important meeting, even if you read the estimates that the U.S. employers may lose as much as $694 million during a 20-minute period as workers go outside to see something far bigger than themselves, go do it. Afterward, you can share stories of what it was like for you while Nick Saban tells his next press conference that it was like the Weather Channel had predicted." Roasted! Roasted Nick Saban, did he? Did Chris Matuszczyk. So, that's a little full of himself, I would think. Because Nick Saban doesn't want to go see it. He's the reason you should go see it. Because Nick Saban is a sign of what's wrong with society. Just because the Weather Channel has it predicted, that's all he needs to see. I'd say me and Nick Saban and anyone who's listening right now that's not that interested in the eclipse, not enough interested to go buy glasses off the black market or get them some shady drug deal in an alley because they're so hard to get, so you're not so interested to drive up to Tennessee or Georgia or South Carolina to try to be in the path of totality, let's rise up against guys like this and say, you know what? You get interested with your Firefox app updates. You get interested in how to read code while I get interested in what I want to get interested in, which is not the eclipse. It's football. Thank you.
Wow. Serious business there.
It's a little much, is it not? Is it not a little much to say Nick Saban is the reason you should go watch it because he's watching the Weather Channel? Like, this is all I got. This is all I need.
I like, too, how he said they've already shown how it's going to look. It hasn't happened.
It's really more of a projection. I mean, you get the general idea. It's not actual. It's not like this if they went to the future.
We'll give them some sunglasses if they want to go.
Again, not 100% how it works, Coach, but it's okay. Do you think Coach is getting asked about stuff like this? Because sometimes press conferences will ask these silly questions. Do you think these are just the dumbest things? Or do you think it's okay because they're breaking up the monotony of football questions? Because did this guy really expect Nick Saban to say, yeah, well, we're practicing a little later because of
the way
this.
That that guy asked it?
Because of the possible injuries.
Making any safety precautions?
Coach is a little off the subject, but on Monday we've got solar eclipse. Are there any special precautions you have to take with the team, considering the eye damage possibilities are that you have thought about?
We have thought about the fact that our players could lose their eyes during this eclipse. That's why we're holding it indoors. It's an indoor practice today.
By the way, there are injury possibilities with every practice.
But not in the eyeball.
Oh, yeah.
Not unless you're...
You get poked in the eye.
Not unless your name's Orlando.
No, there's other guys that get... That's why they wear those visors.
Not all of them wear the visors,
they're not
though.
To look cool. They're
for the eclipse?
Protection.
Oh, okay. I got
that
you.
That, too.
I got you. That's smart. It's smart. It's why Nick
Marshall
wore.
They're
going to
lift the ban on the mirrored visors, like Willis McGahee and Vaughn Dunbar wore. They're bringing them back for this.
Just today. Just today, I like
and then
that.
They're banned again.
I like it. It's the only safe way to be out there playing football, guys.
All right, let's get the 10 After Tweets brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets!
By the way, 866-485-9867. I want to hear about what your plans are today. Listen, we have football this week. We'll get to it.
We
had
a lady
really pissed off Friday that we talked about politics. That was emailing you. Telling us that our show sucked.
Yeah. She didn't like that Dale came in and discussed politics.
Oh, on the segment called Politisports that we morph sports and politics?
Well, I think she also is not a big fan of having politics, any type of segment that has Polita anything. John Danny, who you would pronounce it as.
I think it's Danny.
Okay. The John Danny tweets, breaking. Next U.S. solar eclipse in 2024.
Yeah,
what?
I don't know if that app's going to be any good then.
What?
Call me crazy.
I thought we... He attaches an article from Time Magazine that says, here's when the next eclipse will be. July 2nd. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading the wrong dates. The next one will come in April 8th, 2024. That will come across Texas... In the Northeast United States, I already have a map of totality for the 2024.
Oh, really?
Yes. It will hit Southern Illinois in Carbondale, Illinois, if you're excited about that. If you want to start pre-planning.
I do.
That's going to be apparently the peak.
I do. I'd like to plan now, please.
So, if we're on the air in 7 years.
No shot.
Are we going to hype it up as much as we did this one? I mean, it's 7 years. We're going to be like, think back to the time when, we were, in 7 years ago.
So your cold question of the day is posted atop at Cube Show. I posted a poll on my account, bigger letdown, Mayweather-McGregor or Solar Eclipse 2017?
Well, that's easy.
Mayweather-McGregor, only 57% of the vote, by the way.
Oh, because I think it's a solar eclipse. Wow, I voted solar eclipse on that one.
The cold question of the day presented by Dreamland BBQ at Dreamland BBQ. Will you go outside to watch hashtag solar eclipse 2017, emoticon black circle with yellow around it? 54% currently say no.
That's what I like to hear. A lot of lazy people not interested in something that happens once every, it's now 7 years. What are all these estimates that we're supposed to get, 99 years and even, 18 years? It's now 70. You know what's going to be? I'm going to read a report later today that says the next eclipse is going to be on Thursday.
CBS News tweets, in Carbondale, Illinois, the moon will completely cover the sun for 2 minutes, 38 seconds,
woo!
Longer than almost anywhere else in the U.S.
Woo!
Hashtag CBS eclipse.
Sorry?
Oh, they're trying to own the whole thing?
Yeah, no, they can't do that.
By the way, CBS, it's not your clip.
That's not how you do that. It's all of ours.
Now, wait a second. So, I've heard that there's some podunk town in above Nashville in Tennessee. Saban says it's someplace in Georgia. CBS News says Carbondale, Illinois. Which is the best? I've also heard that, a little town north of Charleston where it's going to end, basically, is the best place. What's the best place? There's like 15 best places to watch it. There can only be one.
You know what I smell? A scam. Because I'm going to start saying that it's going to be in Athens, Alabama. See if I can get some tourism dollars to help out that city.
Chris Crow tweets in, imagine being one of the notified Saban of a player with an Eclipse injury.
Coach, my eye! My eye! Oh, you're off the team, son.
Ray Sibley tweets in, I doubt it. I was off for my birthday. I bet I'll have a mountain of paperwork to deal with. Happy belated birthday, boy.
What?
Ray Sibley tweets, I know people who are having pool parties for today. Took off work today. Day drinking and watching the eclipse. Sounds safe.
That's just an excuse to drink. That has nothing to do with the eclipse. I could take off work.
People who do that for hurricanes, by the way.
Day drinking for the eclipse?
Probably have hurricane parties, yeah.
Or the drink the hurricane.
No, they just drink and have day drinking parties. Hurricane parties.
Derek underscore Ramos 9 tweets, came out last night, was my first time going to Stand Up Live HSV. We couldn't have had a better time. Great night. Man, that means you were part of the Saturday crowd, and the Saturday crowds were awesome at Stand Up Live. Thank you if you all came out to see Stand Up Live. Came to see me specifically. We had a lot of listeners, Cole. Not even those on Twitter. Like, only a couple of them, I think, that were on Twitter that I know by their Twitter handles. There were a lot of listeners that came by and said that they were huge fans of the show. They really, really, really enjoyed it. I met a guy named Survey who was a huge fan of the show. Talked to a guy named Lester, who's a big fan of the show. Jacob. All these guys that I've never seen on Twitter. Bunch of guys saying how much they love listening to the
show. Appreciate them tuning in.
So God bless you. Now, Cole doesn't want anything to do with you because you don't tweet at him and follow him. But I'm cool with you guys just listening and filling out the ratings book.
Bill Big D tweets in, your boy Judge struggled again at Cole Kublik this weekend. 1-for-12, still hitting below 200 since the break. Actually, my boy Judge had a pretty good weekend. He slept great. He was happy. He's in a good mood.
Why did he strike out so much then?
He doesn't even have an official at bat. He's doing well on his new nap schedule, though.
No official at bat. So it was like an intentional walk? What happened?
I guess. William at WillieMac21 tweets, no matter how bad the fight will be, solar eclipse is lame.
I don't disagree.
Anthony Oliver tweets, I'm going to work at school. Forgot my permission slip, so I cannot go outside. Bummer. Boy, that would be, and I know he's being a little bit sarcastic, but can you imagine being the kid at school that didn't get the permission slip and you can't go outside, but the other 300 kids can? That's the worst. Just let the kid go out. Give him the glasses and let him go out.
That's the thing. A lot of people didn't even buy glasses.
Come on.
Because that's the whole reason. Like Robbie Parker, the superintendent of Madison City Schools, is like, man, I don't want this on me. That's why I'm letting schools out. I don't want to buy 15,000 glasses. And secondly, I don't want it on my record if a kid gets his eye damaged or poked out because of the sun. Yeah, a sun can poke your eye out.
Poked out.
That's a fact. Listen, part of it's real. Jason Thomas tweets, man, Ed Arkishea is a solar hater, man. That's solarism, man.
Oh.
That's right. I'm a solarist.
I mean, it does appear as though you have something against this for some reason.
Yeah, I'm a solarist. Every time you try to bring up sun stuff, I'll shoot it down. Shot down the eclipse. Ain't nobody got time for that. I got a life, man. I want to live it. Don't tell me this is living my life either. It's not.
Mike Sparkman tweets 1 minute ago, hashtag solar eclipse 2017, black dot with yellow around it. Hashtag solar eclipse, black dot with yellow around it. Hashtag eclipse 2017, black dot with yellow around it. Hashtag eclipse, black dot with yellow around it. Hashtag SOTD. Is that a different kind of STD?
A little urination issue there? We good?
SOTD?
I thought SOTD was like a prostate thing. I didn't know that was... I might be wrong.
Chris Crow tweets in, that's a negative in response to our cold question of the day. Tennessee Valley Tim tweets.
Well, they're both negative.
I'll be watching at Cube Show from Madison. Hashtag solar eclipse. 17 does not give you the black dot with a yellow around it.
Oh, boy, is that a buzzkill?
Come on, Twitter.
Get all of your hashtags right.
Charles Kramer tweets, is the home run derby MLB's version of the Madden curse? I don't know, man.
Not what we're talking about today.
I'm trying to talk about the solar eclipse today, man.
This is the eclipse's day.
I don't know why you guys are trying to change the topic here. But
don't try to make this real.
If we're going to change topics, then we should talk Auburn football. We'll do it with Bill Connolly of SB Nation next. Show Sports Radio 730 and 1039 The Yump. Excited to welcome in Bill Connolly of SB Nation. Can follow him on Twitter at @SBN_BillC. Good morning, Bill. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. AP Top 25 will be released today. We have real college football this weekend. An article that you wrote last week caught my attention. You titled it, I'm very high on 2017 Auburn's chances. This is terrifying. I guess explain to us first why this is terrifying to you.
Yeah, Auburn is just one of those teams that defies expectations, good and bad, on a yearly basis. And, I mean, you look at the last 5 to 10 years when they were expected to do well. They finished unranked or barely ranked. And then, you know, 2013, they're unranked, very, very unranked, and end up almost winning everything. So, yeah, it's once I realized I have a strong feeling for teams like that. Oklahoma was actually kind of a deceptive, another team in that little bucket. Anytime I realize I'm starting to have strong feelings one way or the other, I realize, oh, wow, I'm just setting myself up to be very wrong.
Bill Connolly of SB Nation covers college football, joining us now. I guess what parts of this Auburn football team do bring that confidence, though?
Well, I mean, I think the offense is I'm never going to say they're gonna slam dunk or anything like that. But, you know, if we look back at the like month where Sean White was healthy and they figured out how they were going to move the ball with him as quarterback, they were almost the best team in the country. You know, you don't win a lot of awards for being the best team in October. But they hit a very, very, very high level when White was healthy. Then he injures his shoulder. His numbers trickle down. Then he's out of the lineup for a little bit. And obviously everything kind of fell apart at the end of the year. But you got a glimpse of what this offense could be. You know, if the passing game was solid enough to go with the heavy hitting run game and everything. And now you've got White as a backup. You've got an even better quarterback. And Stidham doesn't have to be Heisman level for this offense to be really, really good. I think he'll absolutely be good to very good. And if he gets hurt, you have Sean White. So that seems like a pretty solid situation all around.
Bill Connolly with us. College football for SB Nation. Excuse me there, Bill.
Right.
You look at this Auburn football team, and historically, some of those trends that you mentioned have been real in the past. On the field, maybe from a coaching or player personnel standpoint, what would be your biggest concern with this team, either competing or not competing in the SEC West?
Well, I think I don't know if this is a concern or just more like I need to see it. Because of the schedule, we'll see it pretty quickly. I'm curious about the defensive line. Pro Football Focus a few days ago put out a stat showing that most of Auburn's defensive line snaps are coming back, and that's a good thing. But when you lose Adams and Lawson, and then you know a couple backup tackles as well, you know, you basically now have to have a couple of those former star recruits, the Cowarts and the Browns, come through at a pretty high level, and they very well could. You know, there's a pretty solid track record for star recruits when they reach upperclassmen level. But I need to see that the line is as good as it was or close to it as it was last year. But that was a big driver of their defensive success. It was I expected a little improvement defensively just because they were kind of below where they should have been to begin with. But Steele having a top 10 offense threw me off a little bit, and he'll need a good D line to do it again.
And do you view the SEC West as Alabama with maybe an Auburn competing? Do you think other teams have a shot at that division?
No, I'd say, yeah, it's basically three tiers in the West. You've got Alabama in a tier by itself, obviously, but then either Auburn or LSU, you know, they're only a couple of, as I like to say, they're only a couple of ifs away. You know, they, if this happens and if this happens, they could absolutely be a top five team. I think Auburn and LSU both belong in that bucket. And then everybody else in that division, of course, has the, kind of a top 20 level possibility, but I would only see those three teams as having a true top five potential this year.
How big is that Auburn-Clemson game in your mind? It's, you know, somebody asked me on Twitter yesterday, Bill, about Alabama-Florida State and said, you know, hey, this is a team that – or this is a game that I don't really think it matters who wins, basically trying to drive the point that either team could play their way back into the playoff, which is true. But for me, I go back to what Dana White always says in the UFC, never let it go to the judges because you never know what's going to happen. And I kind of look at the committee as the judges here on their scorecard. You never know what kind of decision they're going to have to make or who else is even going to be out there and what kind of resume they're going to have. So obviously going undefeated is your best option no matter what. But when you look at that Auburn-Clemson game, what could that do for either team and maybe how bad could a loss be there for either team?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, especially if you think about Auburn being in a division with LSU and Alabama, if you lose to Clemson, then you have absolutely no margin for error, and that's a pretty scary thing. I'm looking forward to it as an unbiased observer. I love that it's on the schedule because I have a lot of questions about both teams. You know, obviously, I mean, I can talk the offense up, but we still need to see Stidham do what we think Stidham's going to do. And then, like I said, you know, they're Clemson's offense is obviously rebuilding as well. And in theory, if the Auburn defense is as good as it is supposed to be, then they'll slow Clemson down quite a bit. So if that doesn't happen, I think that tells us a lot about Auburn's defensive potential, obviously. And it might tell us if Clemson's a national title contender like that. If they have a decent quarterback situation, not even a Deshaun Watson level awesome quarterback situation, they've got everything, just about everything else. Their defense should be great again. And so it'll obviously be something of an eliminator match, but it really, I'm just looking forward to it because of the questions it's going to answer.
Bill Connolly of SBNation.com joining us. He covers college football. Am I mistaken to have concerns that other than Deshaun Watson, who is most likely the greatest player in Clemson history, that it could potentially be too much to overcome and we're not really talking enough about how much Jordan Leggett, how much Mike Williams, how much Wayne Gallman also meant to that offense?
Yeah, I'm not as worried about Gallman. His numbers were never quite as good as we thought they were going to be. His efficiency numbers were pretty good, but he wasn't very explosive. And if like a Tavian Feaster or somebody really kind of gets going, that the run game might be as good or better than last year, but you know, especially with the offensive linemen that are returning, but the passing game, there's no question. This is a total reset, and it's one of those things where if you look at who's gone versus who's back, you get different impressions. You still have Deion Kane, you still have Renfro and I think McLeod and a bunch of, you know, former star recruits who have shown flashes, but now they all have to sustain those flashes. And we still don't know for sure what the quarterback situation is going to be until we actually see it on the field. So, if you can't really pass, then you're going to be in just a little bit of trouble. And that's obviously the big question for Clemson.
When you look around the country, we mentioned this last week, Bill, with this top 25 coming out today, that there seems to be a bit of a consensus that one, maybe two teams, a lot of people feel very comfortable getting in. Me, for example, I feel pretty good about Ohio State and Alabama right now. I think there could be a huge log jam at 3 and 4 with maybe 6 to 8 teams that the committee could realistically have to choose from. How do you view where we will be after championship Saturday in that committee trying to vote the four teams that will compete in the college football playoff?
I tend to end up viewing these in kind of clusters too, just in that, you know, Alabama obviously, you know, it's like a golfer thing, Tiger Woods versus the field, where, I mean, if you're picking a national title winner, pick the field versus Alabama. Alabama still has the best odds, though, and I think Ohio State clearly has the second best odds. But, yeah, you figure then either a Florida State or Clemson, probably Florida State, has the third best situation there, the third best chances, both because of schedule and because of just strength, you know, on the squad. I'm really curious about the Pac-12 then for that fourth spot. I think they're the next in line over the Big 12, simply because Oklahoma, will probably lose to Ohio State. And then with a rookie coach, they might be glitchy enough to slip up somewhere else along the way. So I would figure that USC, Washington, and maybe Stanford are kind of in a cluster for that fourth spot right now. And I'm really curious to see what Stanford's capable of. Stanford-USC early in the year is a really interesting game, and then Stanford hosts Washington later in the year. So that's kind of how I view the four little clusters there. And I'm almost most interested in the Pac-12 because I'm not completely sure how that plays out.
And with such great quarterback in that league, with Jake Browning, I think is underrated at Washington. We know about the two kids in LA. Could be some serious upsets happening there that could prevent that. I'm not real high on the Pac-12 getting a team in other than Washington right now. So I'd sort of be with you on that one. Bill, great stuff, man. Really do appreciate the time and look forward to catching up again soon.
Absolutely. Take care.
Bill Connolly, SBNation.com, joining us there. A pretty cool article and write-up on Auburn and this offense. And just, he throws some statistics in, talks about historically what this team has done and has not done, but said he's high on Auburn's chances. Just it terrifies him that he feels like this team could compete in the SEC West.
You know, the weird thing, and I read that article as well, and, you know, I get into the part about historically what a guy can do, a team can do, especially under a certain coach. Historically, Auburn has been really, under Gus Malzahn, has been really mediocre with one really great year. So which year is going to be the historical pointing to for this season? Can it be a year where they get back to the national championship game or to the semifinals, obviously, in this case? Or will it be a year where, you know, there's a lot of expectations, but you're looking at the ceiling of maybe 9-10 wins, which is not a bad season by any stretch, especially where they've been considered the last couple of seasons, you know, being in the Birmingham Bowl and all and being and basically limping to an 8-4 Sugar Bowl game. Or would it be one of those two? I tend to think right now they're more likely to play in the college football semifinals than be in the Birmingham Bowl.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's a 10-win team waiting to make a step up to 11 and maybe even 12 if you get to an SEC championship game and win that. I'm with Bill. I'm very, very high on what Auburn could be able to do this season.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk some more college football from over the weekend next.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees. The sun is hot.
Welcome again, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. Eclipse Day, hashtag Solar Eclipse 17, 2017. 17 won't get you the little emoticon there.
Yeah, play it right, people. Play it smart. If you want that emoji right next to Solar Eclipse, you got to use the right hashtag.
We still want to know, what are you doing? What are your plans? Are you going to go outside? Your cold question of the day is, will you go outside to watch hashtag Solar Eclipse 2017? Black circle with yellow around it. Emoticon. Presented by Dreamland Barbecue. 56% say yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, I saw this the story where like they're claiming that for that half hour stretch that it could cost the United States of America employers $694 million in productivity.
America should just rig the Powerball then. They'll be good.
Just pay it back. But here you go. We're all back to even. I call bogus on that. Who's really working hardcore the entire day without taking a little bit of a break? And maybe that's your lunch break. You're supposed to get that. So why don't you just take your lunch break at that time? Or your smoke break during that time.
I tell you, somebody who's not taking a smoke or lunch, or even recruiting break, probably not even an Eclipse break, is Lane Kiffin. He lands another former elite prospect over the weekend in West Virginia.
Another one.
In West Virginia wide receiver Jerron Durante.
Cool. Everybody transferring there.
Yeah, this is turning into Mosh Pit U. Like, we'll take you.
Is this like a pickup team? Like you just put a bunch of guys out there and you're like, I'll take him. This is how you draft him?
Former 4-star recruit from Miami. And he announced via Twitter that he's going to transfer to FAU. Now, he'll have to sit out 17, but still, he had not been in camp with West Virginia because of personal reasons. 6'1", 71. Which brought me to another thing that I found over the weekend, that apparently now that John Franklin is down in Boca, he's talking.
Oh, crap. Or maybe it's good. Maybe he's saying nice things about Auburn.
I was just like, quote, I need to be on the field. This is my last shot to pursue my dream, and I have to be on the field every play.
Oh, good. He's been played both ways at Auburn.
Not just some plays. Coach Kiffin presented that opportunity to me, and it was just the perfect situation because I get to get back home, be with my family, and just have fun.
Sure.
That's what it's all about. I wasn't really having too much fun.
Oh.
Just be able to be have fun in my last year. That's what I made my decision on.
What's with transfers piping up and talking? Just running their grill all the time.
He said he was not having much fun at Auburn last year.
Well, here's the thing. Football's not supposed to be fun.
I wouldn't have fun if I was a quarterback and couldn't complete passes either.
I wouldn't have fun if I was a receiver and couldn't catch him.
So, yeah. Fun, apparently, is a reason to transfer now.
Well, he wanted to be on the field for every play. And I don't know anybody who's on the field for every play. At this level.
We played against Champ Bailey when I was at Auburn.
Okay.
And people went bananas when he played like 118 plays in a game.
Yeah.
And that was probably 70% of the total plays in the game.
Yeah.
And John Franklin wants to go every play. Whew, man. If he can pull it off.
Yeah, we just, you know.
Maybe marathons are in his future.
I mean, even Jabril Peppers got some time
off.
Not
every play.
Yeah, he got a lot of time off.
Not every play.
So do you think he was going to be suited to be able to play in Auburn's offense?
What's odd about this is
I don't think so.
He said he wants to play every play, but apparently when they mentioned defense to him, that's when he left.
Well, that would be part of the plays. That's roughly half of them.
Hmm. No, he wasn't going to play much.
I don't think he wasn't going to play. I just think he didn't fit. I just think he did not fit at Auburn. Auburn needed a quarterback. They went and gave him a scholarship after he threw for 1,000 touchdowns in an East Mississippi game. He came into Auburn, couldn't cut it. Couldn't cut it as a receiver, just couldn't cut it on the offensive side. There were times where he looked really explosive and really good, and that's a great weapon to be able to have, but he just never fit what the offense was going to do. Was garbage at the zone read, could not get that to save his life. The zone read should have rightfully been, I'm determining whether or not I'm taking this with the look after I get the ball, but before I even break the huddle. Rarely had a huddle. I get it. So I don't think he was good at reading it. I don't think he was good at playing it. I don't think he was that good at throwing it. I'm surprised he wouldn't take the opportunity on defense unless the opportunity on defense was sort of we'll see.
Oh, I don't think but you can't make him a promise when he switches to defense. You can't say, you're your least second team. I mean, he's got to be able to cover.
Right, right. And he has the able to speed to be able to cover ground, but whether or not he could play that position is a huge, huge maybe. So he goes to a place where there's space for him and room. He's going to play receiver at FAU. That's the only place that he can play where he steps in and he can play as many plays as possible. Because he's not going to be able to do it at defense for FAU, and he's not going to play quarterback there either.
You keep saying that he doesn't fit at Auburn, and I mean, I can tell you, Sal Cannella can do more things than he was going to be able to do. Darius Slayton is a better receiver. Nate Craig Myers is a better receiver. Kyle Davis is obviously a better receiver. Eli Stove's even a better receiver. So I can see where Marquise McClain's a more talented kid as far as catching the football than he is. I could see where he kind of thought, all right, I'm going to be lost in the mix here. Other than just having more ability, and again, I mentioned his ability before, doesn't necessarily carry over to being a great football player.
Right.
He doesn't have fluidity. He doesn't have the ability to just go onto a football field and do different things. He's not that kind of an athlete. And he's not a very loose athlete. He's a very north-south explosive athlete. How does he fit into this? What's the guy in Alabama's offense the last few years that you could see John Franklin playing his role? Exactly.
Hold on. Jonah, no, he couldn't do that either. No, that's the thing. First of all, a midfit, and we're going on the same thing. He couldn't play quarterback, and they desperately needed a quarterback. He couldn't do it. Couldn't read the zone read. Couldn't complete intermediate. If he could have completed intermediate passes, and if he could have read the zone read with any consistent effectiveness, Jarrett Stidham's probably not at Auburn right now.
Good chance.
But he can't. And the receiver depth at Auburn is as good as maybe I've ever seen it since I've been, you know, paying attention to SEC football. And
potential depth. There's a lot of guys that haven't necessarily
three. Listen, Auburn doesn't need more than two really good. They don't have seven number ones, but they have a couple of number one type guys and a whole bunch of number two and three type guys. The depth there for Auburn, and you say potential, I'm saying depth there for Auburn, is as good as I've seen it for Auburn. And I'm only 31, though. There's just, and they're all much better than John Franklin would have been. There's no space for him. There's no room. There's no spot on the roster for him to, if he wants to just play as many plays as possible, there's just no room for him there at Auburn. I understand wanting to move. I'm just surprised it took this long.
What would you
Unless
set
the- he waited just to do the graduate that we could transfer without penalty. But even then, he was there for another, you know, 7-10 days afterwards.
Yeah, but fun.
Just stop being fun after they asked him to play defense and not even play. Just move to defense and maybe you can turn into something. And this is late in the game to be doing it for him too.
I'm going to set the over-under for you on John Franklin receptions.
Okay.
Or should I set it at offensive touches? Like, do you think
touches?
I could see Kiffin giving him some sort of a zone read package, but like we've said, he's not good at it. Like, yeah, he can run fast, but he doesn't have a great feel for running that scheme. I'll say carries and catches combined.
All right.
40.
Oh, man, that feels high. That feels high. But I'll say over.
You think he'll go over 40?
Because I can see Lane Kiffin trying to give him as many opportunities early in the season, and then maybe that tapering off when they just can't find it. I don't think it'll be consistent 3 or 4 a game.
Their top three.
Man, that's less than 4 a game.
Their top three and seven of their top 8 receivers are returning. Caleb Woods had 68 catches. Henry Bussey, 24. Tavares Harrison, 18. Nate Terry, 17. Devin Singletary, 26. Cameron Solomon, 12. They have 6 guys with double-digit catches returning. He's fitting better than them. I mean, I'm not saying those guys are great football players, but they've at least caught balls in games.
Yeah, that's less than 4 a game touches, like carries. But that also does feel like he went many – oh, man.
He's got to get open and catch the ball. Now rushes, carries, different deal.
Because I feel like you could send John Franklin a jet sweep.
Didn't he have one run reception last year? For like -3 yards?
But it's a touch. And that would have counted towards the total.
I'll give you that. All right, when we come back, LSU could really be in trouble. The AP Top 25 is going to be out today. One poll has already surfaced from one voter. We'll get to that. Also, Kellen Williams, former Alabama offensive lineman, talks Saturday's scrimmage. And Brandon Marcello talks Auburn's Saturday scrimmage in the next hour right here on Cube Show.